pick a window. This is the Defenestrate Media Network.
Oh, wow. I don't know about the costume, but that's some set of wheels.
Hi, I'm Marv Wolfman, and you're listening to the world's greatest comic book podcast.
You're listening to the world's greatest comic book podcast, and I am your host, the radioactive professor of all things comic book, J.C. Carter. Joining me today on the show, my super friends, in the north, our punk pixie, Miss Jocelyn Christensen.
Hi, guys.
And on the bridge of his own private enterprise, our very own Admiral James Tiberius Batman Laird Jeff Bell.
I bought a water pick a couple of months ago. I bought this little handheld unit. It was on sale for like, I think, $12, $14. Life-changing. My mouth feels so fucking clean in the mornings now. I can't. Get a water pick. They're amazing. It'll creep you out the first time you do it and you see how much just gob falls out of your fucking hole. Ugh.
Oh. I have one. I should probably use it better than I do, but
I use this goddamn thing every day. I love it. Why can't I get a gym habit as quickly as I have adopted to this water pick?
Because, hey, I got myself a gym habit this year. Did I tell you guys that?
No.
Have I told you that? Yeah, I joined a gym. So they opened a Planet Fitness that is literally like, okay, it's like one block off, but it's essentially right on my commute. Now, my commute's like 10 minutes, you guys. I recognize that this is a complete Jocelyn issue. So they opened this Planet Fitness that's literally right on my way to and from work. So I joined it, and I got the premium membership, so then I can sit in their massage chairs, but that has to be my reward. And I'm doing pretty well. I'm pretty successful at getting there 2 to 3 evenings a week after work to go do my workout so that I can sit in the massage chair. And it's fantastic.
That's awesome.
I love it. Yeah. Yeah. So there you go. Maybe I need to somehow make it so that I can't, I don't know, come home until I water pick my teeth.
There you go.
Yeah.
I was gifted a folding treadmill, the kind you fold up against the wall.
Yeah.
Went out and used it the first time and was like, this thing is just not, what the fuck? And of course, you know, it was given to me, so no instruction manual.
Oh, yeah.
So I look it up, find the serial number, look it up online, finally get the instruction manual. Yeah. Max weight, 250 pounds. So I got a little bit of weight to lose before I can even use my treadmill, which is I want it so I can lose some weight.
Yeah, that's how it works.
Yep.
You know, I want to lose weight so I can zip line and base jump.
Yeah.
Because they won't let me.
There you go.
See?
Bastards. Chicken.
So, yeah, now I got stuff to do to get it set up. But yeah, I went out to use it. I had, because Angus took his motorcycle out, and so I had a spot where one of his motorcycles were parked that I could set up my treadmill and just test it. And I'm like, well, this is working pretty good. And then all of a sudden it would just stop. And I'm like, okay, this feels like it has a weight limit.
Yeah.
This doesn't feel like one of those gym ones that can handle like 500 pounds, you know, and just will whip you into shape.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My commute is 30 seconds to go from upstairs to my office, basically. So
that's true.
Yeah.
That's true. That's hard to find a gym membership on that commute.
Yeah. My gym membership on that commute is I have to get equipment, you know.
Well, like the dumb thing in my brain, this is what worked in my brain to make it a habit. But there's another gym. There's an EOS Fitness that's like also 5 minutes away from my house, like literally not very far. The trick being that I don't have to drive by it to come home. So I wouldn't go there. Do you see the difference? Like,
yeah.
It's in the opposite direction. This was just convenient.
The last time I really gymmed was my boss at a job I had was like, I'm joining a gym. I want you to join with me so I have someone to go with. And I'm like, okay.
Nice.
And so my boss and I would go and work out every day at lunch. And
nice.
Then come back and eat lunch. And it was like, it was the most marvelous time.
It was a time of peace.
Exactly. It was a wonderful time until the company, you know, was sold out from under us and in pieces. It was piecemealed out from under us. That was the fun part. Yeah. They were like, well, we can't afford all the people because we're going to have to move back to the studio. And I was like, I didn't even know we had a studio. We go to the studio. There's literally a television studio set up in there. I thought, is this available to everybody? Because I got a couple of podcasts that could benefit from this. No, you have to pay a lot of money to rent it. I'm like, well, I don't have that because I work for you.
Jocelyn?
We did get that camera.
That's true. That's
true. First Comic-Con.
I hate to interrupt, and are you scraping shit across the top of your laptop right now?
I'm not doing anything across the top of my laptop right now.
Okay, because I'm hearing a noise, and I cannot figure out what it is.
I'll put my hands up here so that you know I'm not doing bad things.
Okay, sorry about that. Let's go on.
Please do continue.
No, I don't. We got a gym membership. We were using the shit out of it there for a few weeks, and then you're supposed to meet with the personal trainer, you know, to kind of walk through and put together a thing for you. And right. Our guy stood us up once, stood us up twice, stood us up a third time, and I don't know why, but it just sucked the wind out of my sails. I'm like, fuck it, you know?
Right. Well, yeah.
But, you know, as soon as we get everything else sorted out, we're going back. You know, I don't need some fucking 20-year-old dipshit who can't get off his bong long enough to show up to work to tell me how to get thin. You know, I've done it before. what I need is somebody telling me not to get fat again. That's what I need.
So you're at Planet Fitness, is that right, Joss?
Sure I am.
Is that 100%? That's 100% phone app, isn't it? Like,
what do you mean?
Well, yeah. like when I wanted to join, I went to the gym like I used to do, and the guy looked at me like I had lobsters growing out of my ears. Like, will you sign up over the phone? So I go through the whole phone app to get signed up because I've got a Planet Fitness just down the road from me.
Uh-huh.
I sit there going over the phone, and I get to the end, and all of a sudden it kicks me out of the app before I finish signing up. And I'm like, well, there's a sign. I'm already pissed at these guys for, you know, acting like idiots. So fuck it. I'm not joining Planet Fitness. But it looked like you could do... Like, your personal trainer is, like, an artificial intelligence on the phone app, is what it looks
like. So, yeah, I don't... They've not asked me to meet with a personal trainer. You can meet with one there. I think you have to request it.
Yeah.
I don't want to talk to people. I liked it because they have a 30-minute circuit that's already set up. But on the app, there are different workouts I can choose from. I signed up on the computer because they were building mine out. Mm. So, but yeah, I like it. Weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm at EOS, and I went. Mm-hmm. I went in. They were having a sale, so we went in, took in the kids, signed everybody up, and then, you know, one of the kids is the only one that still uses it. Mm. Very silly, but no, I need to get back. It's. I can't stand walking in this area. I don't like it. It's right next to the freeway, and so the air is always full of, you know, microdust and bullshit, and mm-hmm. you feel worse when you get back from a walk than you do when you start.
Right.
You know, and not in that, ooh, it hurts kind of way, more in that, I can't fucking breathe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Kind of thing. So, anyway, this isn't about comic books. What are we doing?
What are we doing?
I don't know. Do you have news?
Yeah, let's do some news.
Meanwhile, at the Hall of Justice.
Hey, good news, everybody. O.J. Simpson's dead. Good riddance.
I understand it's his new way of looking for the real killers.
Yep, you're going to find him in hell.
Yep.
Yeah, but O.J. Simpson died, $114 million in debt to Ron Goldman's family. Legal battles loom against the estate. Yep. Simpson and Goldman and Brown's families, $33.5 million after he was found liable in a lawful death suit in 1997. The attorney for Goldman's father, this is me, I'm not going to talk about his life, fuck that guy. An attorney for Goldman's father claims that O.J. Simpson who was acquitted of murdering Ron and Nicole, owed the family more than $100 million prior to his death. Simpson, who died of age 76 on April 10th following a cancer diagnosis, been ordered to pay the Goldman family's $33.53 million after he was found liable in that suit in 1997. However, David Cook, who represents Ron's father, Fred Goldman, told People that their family has not seen the money owed, and it has since grown due to interest. He died without penance, Cook said of Simpson. He did not want to give a dime, a nickel to Fred, never anything, never. And that pretty much sums up O.J. Simpson being a piece of shit from beginning to end.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's a shame.
Yeah. Yep. Oopsie daisy. See you later. We're not going to miss you. I thought you were dead already. I did. I thought he was dead or in jail. I couldn't remember. And then I see that he died.
He did. He went to jail for...
armed robbery.
Because he was trying to get back his... I think we talked about it. He was trying to get back his sports memorabilia.
Yep.
Bonkers.
Robin McNeil, co-anchor and co-founder of PBS NewsHour, died April 12th. He was 93 years old. You've heard of the McNeil Lehrer NewsHour.
Yeah.
He's McNeil.
Oh,
anyway,
that's the McNeil. Oh, yep. Okay.
He died Friday morning of natural causes at New York Presbyterian Hospital. His daughter, Allison, told the New York Times, following their coverage of the 1973 Senate Watergate hearings, McNeil co-founded the predecessor to PBS's McNeil Lehrer News Report in 1975 with fellow anchor Jim Lehrer.
Oh, well, there you go.
He's still doing it.
Yeah.
He is?
Yeah.
Wow.
Jim Lehrer is still doing the PBS NewsHour.
It's nuts. And then sad news. We had good news, news, and now sad news. Look, I've got no emotional connection to Robert McNeil. I don't. I know.
It's okay.
That's all. 1975, I was 3 years old, for Christ's sake. Trina Robbins, iconic comic book creator and historian, has passed away at the age of 85. Eisner Hall of Fame comic book writer and artist is one of the first creators in the underground comics movement in the United States before becoming an acclaimed comic book historian later in life. Robbins became a comic book fan as a young child. He got involved in science fiction fan community in the 50s and 60s. That led to her doing some drawings for various fanzines in the community. She had her first comic published in the underground newspaper, The East Village Other. In 1969, she also designed Vampirella's costume for Warren Publishing. So just know that when you buy a copy of Vampirella, you're supporting a feminist icon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's all.
When you want to call that costume names because of how sexist it is, remember, it was designed by a woman.
An accomplished woman.
Yes.
She ran a clothing boutique in the East Village. She made clothes for a number of prominent musicians of the era. When she moved to California in 1970, her friend Joni fucking Mitchell even memorialized Robbins in the classic song Ladies of the Canyon. Robbins was at the forefront of the underground comics movement in the late 60s, early 70s, and she helped bring more women into the movement. She famously created the one-shot It Ain't Me, Babe comics, which was the first underground comics completely written and drawn by female comic creators.
Yep.
Can we rewind to the costume, though? Because you skipped over the quote where she says, over the years, your costume has gotten skimpier and skimpier, and now it doesn't bear any resemblance to what I designed.
Look, if you're gonna jump
right over it.
Details.
No.
That's just a detail.
Gah.
You just ride me and ride me.
You'd like that, wouldn't you?
Oh my goodness. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, she was voted by CBR readers as one of the all-time greatest female comic book artists. Robin's early work had a striking balance between off-kilter standard comics, with an X style, and more traditional comic book style. So the article is long, as it very well deserves to be.
Absolutely.
Besides being a great comic book artist, wonderful historian, Robbins was renowned for her sheer love of comics and her willingness to be an ambassador for comic books, helping to bring new readers, especially female readers, to the genre for more than 80 years.
She was still drawing.
Yep.
Not as prolifically as she once did, but she was still drawing. She would do the layouts and the base, you know, illustration, and then a comic book artist I'm very familiar with from the 80s, Steve Leiloa, he worked as her inker, effectively. He would come in and do inking for her. So, yeah.
Yeah.
It was, like I said, it's impressive to me. Like, Stan was still trying to write stuff into his 80s and even into his 90s. And she was still drawing stuff into her 80s. It's mind-blowing, you know?
It really is.
Even Neil Adams was still cranking stuff out just before he died. So, yeah, he did, like, a couple of full issues before he died. So, yeah, it's a lot of work to do that. So, yeah, I'm always impressed. But when you love it and it's, you know, there's no retiring from it if you love it. It's always going to be something you do. So, yeah.
Well, that's it for the news.
All right, we're going to take a little break, and when we come back, we're heading to Tinseltown.
If you came across someone struggling with hunger, how would you recognize them? Would you notice a 16-year-old boy who got his first job?
Not for extra spending money, but to help feed his little sisters?
Or a mother who's in between jobs and sometimes goes to bed hungry so her kids can have dinner. I am the one in eight Americans who struggle with hunger. I am hunger in America.
Hunger can be hard to recognize. Learn why at IamHungerInAmerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Hey, this is Elena Huffman, Abaddon on Supernatural, and you are listening to the world's greatest comic book podcast.
Tell me.
There is nothing wrong with your television. Do not attempt to adjust the picture.
What have you guys been watching on the Tinseltown TV and movies this week, Joss?
I know, like, my brain is so bothered right now because I know I watched more than just the one thing I listed, but I cannot remember it. So nothing significant or memorable, apparently.
Nothing memorable.
Right. But I did. Last night, we sat down and we watched the first episode of Fallout.
Yay!
Yeah!
Yeah, I was allowed to watch it because it's been greenlit, so says Jeff, for season 2.
Already got a season 2 greenlit.
Right, so I'm allowed to watch it now. That's the rules. And it's really good. Now, I am not at all video game person. I don't play video games. Never have. I don't like them. I didn't like them in the 80s, and it's never stuck with me. I know very little about the Fallout video game. I know the general story, but
well, this is new because the game has never been to Los Angeles.
Okay.
So it gives them a lot more leeway to step outside of the lore of the game so far, because it's mostly been East Coast. I was inspired to reinstall Fallout 4, which takes place in the Commonwealth, which basically means you're in Boston.
Okay.
You know, because America reformed in those 200 years between the original bombs dropping and the show. So America reformed to 13 bigger colonies. So, yeah, when you're down in the New Republic of California, you know, that's all new shit. But nope, can't talk about that yet. We'll give that a couple weeks. Something happens at the end of the last episode that made everybody who plays the game go, "Oh my god, oh my god, oh my god."
Oh, so, I love that.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. But yeah, no, I like what they did to where they've made it that all the vaults are different. You know, and each vault is its own social experiment as opposed to an actual fucking vault. you know? And so right. it just, the whole fucking show, it is, there are violent pieces of it that play out like they do in the game. And if you've played video games, you know how fucking gory they can be. So there are a lot of headshots that are extra messy and make me go, I've done that.
Right.
I've made that happen.
I've done that. I've blown that up. You know, so I can't believe I watched it all already.
You watched all of it already?
Yeah, over three nights.
Wow. Well,
not only did they drop it like a month early, then they ended up dropping it a day earlier than that. Instead of waiting until Thursday, they dropped it Wednesday at 6 p.m. Eastern time. And we watched the first two episodes then, two more, oh, wow. and then the rest of them last night.
That's awesome.
Oh, so awesome. And Walter Goggins?
Mm-hmm.
Jesus yes. Christ, he's fun. He's yeah. just, yeah. I mean, he makes Justified when he's on. You know, I am, we talked about it a couple weeks ago, but Justified got a green light for the second season for City Primeval. You know, and, and Walter Goggins is coming back for that. So I'm excited. Well, what else did you watch now that I've taken over your segment?
No, you're fine, because that really was it. That's really all that I watched. I look forward to finishing. We're going to probably be on that for at least a week
yeah.
to finish it out. So, yeah. yeah. What about you? What else did you watch?
Obviously, After Midnight was back this week. Even when that show's bad, I enjoy it. You know? And it had a couple of weaker episodes, just compared to last week's, which were riotous. You know, this was more yeah. like the show. So for that, and then, fired up Netflix's Ripley last night. I think the first thing out of my mouth was, oh shit, it looks like a student film. A lot of really weird camera angles and like, you know, like let's do a close up of this guy putting on his shoes on the shoes. He's walking away. Let's do a close-up on his feet walking away. He's going downstairs. Let's do a bunch of wacky-ass angles of stairs. And it's all in black and white, mm-hmm. you know? And so I'm just, the more and more I'm watching, the more and more like, well, yeah, this is a student film guy who did not get good criticism notes at the end, mm-hmm. you know, of the course. You know, but I guess it's based on The Talented Mr. Ripley, is my guess.
Oh.
And it is darker and weirder and a lot more existential. Sort of. It feels like an old, depressing French film. How's that? I don't know what to make of it yet. I don't even know if I liked the first episode. Everybody was really good in it, but at the same time, I was like, I don't really give a flying fuck what's going on right now. Hey, can we watch Fallout, guys? Which is what we did.
Yep. Those student film ones, man. Ugh. Yeah,
you know what? Do just for the shits and giggles of it this week, just watch that first 15 minutes and you'll see exactly what the fuck I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. And I will end this as a transition to Mr. Carter chatting. Star Trek Discovery. I don't give a shit what anybody on the internet says. Another good episode.
Another great episode.
Yeah.
yeah.
I like I said last week, I really like this new captain guy that's a commander now. I enjoyed his whole headbutting with Tilly. I'm yep. so glad Tilly's back. I'm just so glad she's back on the ship this season. I missed the shit out of her last season, even though because she was only on a few episodes. But you know, it's been nice having Tilly back. But no, I enjoyed the episode.
I want to explore just that little bit between him and Tilly, because he does this thing where he says, "Okay, bring each member of the crew in." Active staff first, and then we'll, you know, I don't know why they'd have inactive, but he said, yeah, bring everybody in, I'll talk to them, and then as they come in, he says, tell me something about yourself, within 20 words, and he would like the first guy Reese finishes off, and he says, yeah, that was more than 20 words, and basically dismissed after that, until he's just like, okay, this guy's an asshole. And they get to the end, and she gives him a chewing out, which was great, because she ends with, and you're being a big, I'm out of words. walks out the door. And then they get to, they go to the scene of the bar. Now here's the male centric side, which would have totally flown in the Next Generation era versus the female centric side, which is more what we're seeing with Discovery. He comes in, he says, Reese, is a shiphead, but he actually has a lot of competency and could be, in command. This person's seen a lot of shit, and I think that that's going to give us a tactical advantage when we need her. This person's done this, and he does one other person. And she says, just because. So in that would have been like, oh, in the male-centric side, it's like, oh, he really was catching on. He got a benefit from it. He wasn't just letting them talk and not really, and just counting their words, which is exactly how I would have done. I wouldn't have heard a word they said. I would have been counting each word they said so I could get the 20 words. But then Tilly turns around and says, just because you heard them doesn't mean you're working with them. And just continues to hold her line that he's being a big jerk and that he needs to change all of his behavior if he's going to be on this new ship. And I was like, boom, I get it. And it's one of those moments, it's one of those woke moments where you go, oh yeah, yep, because that's exactly what men do.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I thought it was so cool. The rest of the episode, just very good. Adara having to go through all that with the boyfriend was very interesting. The stuff with Culver having to take on a Trill personality from a previous host, which we saw that in an early episode of Star Trek Deep Space Nine, where Jadzia's hosts all took over members of the crew.
I was gonna say, I remember that storyline.
Yeah. Yeah. And each member of the crew, and it was hilarious. Some of them were like, I can't believe you did this to me, you know, or like Quark like kicks the personality out of his head. He's like, that's enough. Because it was a woman and she was just, you know, and Ferengi, especially Quark, are notoriously super sexist. So he was like, okay, I've had it. I can't do this anymore. But yeah, it was just delightful to watch this Wilson Cruz play a completely different character who's, in all honesty, by the time you get to the end, you realize he's fucking with him the whole time. And it was, and I love that even more. I'm like, I love that this guy was just fucking with him the whole time. it's a fantastic episode. And then I'm like, well, how are the bad guys going to follow? And then they show how they're doing that. I'm like, well, you know, I expect that to happen. No, fantastic episode. Damn, I need more. And I'm not going to get more than after this season, right? Because it ends. So it's disappointing. Then I watched also After Midnight. When I used to watch At Midnight, one of the things that I liked about At Midnight is that I don't pay that much attention to every corner of the internet. I don't really read
That's
much.
That's probably good.
Yeah, I don't read much Reddit or subreddits.
There are lots of the internet that I don't watch.
I rediscovered TikTok this week and I haven't looked at it for like 2 months. Jeff can attest to that because I was sharing more videos with him.
Yeah.
But I don't use Twitter. I dropped Twitter completely. I barely touch Threads. It's mostly Facebook for me. So one of the nice things about At Midnight is that I'm able, After Midnight is, and At Midnight was this way and After Midnight's this way, I get to keep up with trends that I don't even realize are happening because they have like 20 writers whose whole job is to pay attention to this corner of the internet and then write little funny quiz questions about it or throw up videos or whatever from it. So yeah, if you are like me and feeling like you're falling behind on all the different internets, you should be watching After Midnight. It helps. It really does. It keeps you abreast of trends. Daily Show, always good. And then X-Men 97. Okay, if you paid attention to any portion of the internet as I was talking about from this last week, everyone is devastated right now. I'm pissed. And I'm not pissed because of what they did in this episode. I'm pissed because of what they did in the last episode, where they sucked all the emotional juice out of Life Death Part 1, which is one of my favorite stories that Chris Claremont ever wrote. They sucked all the emotional depth out of it. Just made it a fucking cartoon for kids. This one, they do this. They do that. And every episode's been some of the major events. I'm waiting for Extinction Agenda to come along. But they've always done major events, and every episode is a full major event. This one was the fall of Genosha. After Genosha was liberated and became a mutant haven, then there was a big fall of Genosha. Because in the Marvel Universe, mutants don't get to have nice things for very long.
Well, so, yeah, they're mutants.
Yeah, so they go to... basically, Genosha was getting inducted into the United Nations. And I'm like, well, this episode's the fall of Genosha. That's what I expected. I expected to see a lot of dead bodies. I expected to see... Oh, actually, I didn't expect to see dead bodies.
Weren't you watching the kids' cartoon?
I expect to see a lot of parachutes, basically. No, I expected to see, like on G.I. Joe. I expected to see something that I was like, this is the fall of Genosha. And, okay, that was cool, but there won't be a lot of cool things. No, what they do, and I won't spoil it, but I mean, you probably, caught a hint of it. But, yeah, there's a death that I was shocked by. And apparently the entire internet, everybody who watched it on the internet over the last week was like, what the fuck? Holy shit. And they're just blown away by it. So yeah, it was heartbreaking. And it's right at the end of the episode too. So you walk away, and they even did a really slow beat. Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. Like in a minor key and everything. And I'm like, as their closing theme, and I'm like, dude, I'm more pissed that you couldn't give me that with Life Death than what you just did right now. But yeah, it was. I mean, I'm watching the death in back of my head. It's like I still hear the Marvel editor I once talked to, who said, death is just an inconvenience in the Marvel universe. So yeah, they could bring this character back easily somehow. But yeah, it was crazy, just crazy. Oh, and you finally get the reveal of who Cable is. Which honestly surprised my wife. She didn't know, really, that Cable is Nathan Summers. So I'm like, I thought that was common knowledge. But I guess if you've only ever watched the X-Men cartoon, you would have no idea. Cable was just Cable. His superpower was guns. Yeah, and that was it. I would say I wish all of them were like this one. Maybe not that somber or anything, but give me a little more. You're playing this to fans of the original X-Men saga that have grown up, and you don't have to pull your punches as much. That's all I'm saying.
Fair.
Yep. And with that said, let's do some Tinseltown news.
Meanwhile, at the Hall of Justice,
Giant Talking Moose says, "I will play Sam again." Jared Padalecki shares exciting update on a Supernatural revival. The reunion chatter is getting louder, and Jared Padalecki just teased an encouraging timeline to revisit the show. Fantasy horror series ran on the CW for 15 fucking seasons, but fans are hoping for more Winchester adventure. Lead actors Jensen Ackles, Jared Padalecki, teased a possible reunion in December of 2023, and the surrounding clatter hasn't stopped since. Although Supernatural had a definitive fucking ending at the end of its 15-season run, the final episode aired in 2020, the cast would love to revisit the show. I think they should. Death is just an inconvenience to people in the Supernatural universe.
That's true.
Is also true.
Yeah. Yep. No, I'm looking forward to it. Noting that it's weird to not have any Supernatural released products on air, the actor agreed that he would return to the show. The simple answer to your question is 100%. I will play Sam Winchester again. Jensen will play Dean Winchester again. It's more of a timing and availability thing.
Oh.
Good news.
Sounds like everything's greenlit except just getting their schedules all lined up.
Yep.
That's cool.
If I may left show for just a moment.
You may.
One of the things I've found that the folks on the right, the hateful right, the bigoted right, the anti-LGBTQA2S right.
Also known as the right.
The right.
Yeah.
They don't understand how the fuck the Constitution works. They just don't get it. They don't understand. Gina Carano. After Disney popped up and said, hey, look, we fired her because of her really creepy fucking shit she said about the Holocaust.
Yeah.
And then Gina is like, see, they violated my freedom of speech. Nope. As much as they're getting there, they're not there yet. Disney's not the fucking government.
Right.
The Constitution says that you have freedom to say whatever you want, but you do not have freedom from consequences. Basically, it says that the government can't tell you to shut up. But Disney right. can, especially yeah. when you're being gross. Not mm-hmm. only did you only factor in your anti-Semitic views, you forgot to make fun of the fact that they also killed gypsies and homosexuals and artists and intellectuals. You know, there was a lot of people killed. There was a lot of people killed.
Right.
You made fun of it and said, it's as hard as being a Jew in the Holocaust to be a conservative. Fuck you. You not only deserve to get fired, you deserve to be mocked.
Yep.
Mercilessly until you cry like the little snowflake bigot that you are. Gina Carano, I regret my feelings towards you early in the Mandalorian run. Because mm-hmm. say what you will, and apparently you will, you were hot. You know, now I just look at her and go, you.
Well, yeah, because her insides are ugly.
Yes, mm-hmm. I will let that joke just fly right on by. Peacemaker Season 2 has begun production. James Gunn shared a pic
yeah.
of the helmet.
Mm-hmm.
On John Cena's head. Can you imagine what a fucking nightmare it is to shoot this show when John Cena's running around in a giant fucking mirror all the time?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they got to be doing a lot of CGI tidy up in that thing. That's all I can say. You know, I don't care how much the fanboys would have bitched about it. I would have put an acid etch on it to make it look more aluminum and less shiny metal. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Just because yeah. I think that would make everybody's life a lot easier. But nope, James Gunn doing hard work. But that's it for the news.
Well, that's the best thing is he's always giving it. He's doing the fan service.
Yep.
You know, good old James Gunn. Oh, well, we'll take another break. And when we come back, we're talking comics.
I'm Peter Davison. I played the Fifth Doctor, and you're listening to the world's greatest comic book podcast.
Neil Armstrong waited 6 hours and 39 minutes to step onto the surface of the moon. Jackie Robinson waited 20 months to play his first game with the Brooklyn Dodgers. And even DiCaprio had to wait 22 years to win an Oscar. You can wait until your destination. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Kevin Eastman, co-creator of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and you're listening to me on the world's greatest comic book podcast.
Wah, wah, wah!
There has been a lot of new stuff going on with a lot of the alternative publishers this week. So we're going to get right into some comic book news.
Yeah, we are.
Meanwhile, at the Hall of Justice.
Okay, stop me if we've heard this one before. I think this may just be comicbook.com being slow to the uptake, because I think we talked about this already, but Josh Gad is writing a new comic book for Dark Horse. Did we talk about this? We did talk about this already.
We did.
Yeah, so for those of you that may have missed it, beginning in June, Frozen and the Angry Birds movie star Josh, I bet he's reading that and going, really, that's the one you got to bring up? I was in Book of Mormon. You know, I did a show.
I was on Broadway.
I did a political show. It was funny. No. The Angry Birds movie star Josh Gad will release his first comic book, Dark Horse Comics' The Writer, which teams Gad with storytellers Ben and Max Berkowitz, veteran Marvel artist Ariel Olivetti, and letterer Frank, Russian last name, Kvetkovic. Kvetkovic. Mm-hmm. I think I got it.
I bet you
did. Pretty good. Yeah.
Anyway, The Writer combines the fantastical elements of cultural folklore and real-life challenges of the creative process. Not unlike Keanu Reeves' Berserker. Mm-hmm. Not, if I just stopped there, you'd be like, Josh Gad's writing what now? It's a creator-owned comic that just happens to feature a character that looks a lot like the famous co-writer.
Yeah.
Oh, that's convenient.
Yeah. Yep.
We've had plenty of these already. This is just another one. Yeah.
Yeah, the worst one so far has been the one Wesley Snipes did.
Yeah.
Terrible. Mike Baron will return to Nexus with a new graphic novel. Nexus co-creator Mike Baron returns to the world for the first time in over a decade with Nexus Scourge. Original story features art by Kelsey Shannon. Marks the first time Baron has published a Nexus story since his partnership with Rude was dissolved. The two seem to have a good relationship. Rude gets name-dropped as an inspiration to Shannon in Dark Horse's release. But back in 2022, Rude announced they had parted ways, went on to publish his own Nexus story. Battle for Thunderworld did that one on his own. To have both creators doing their versions of the character feels like a fitting end to a relationship that lasted years, spawned dozens of comics, and had an unprecedented relationship with publisher Dark Horse. So there you go.
Yeah. The return of, Mike Baron coming back without Steve Rude is still fine. This should be really good. And there's go to the comicbookpodcast.com, go to this episode, go into the links, click the link for this particular story. There's a video about halfway down the article that you can watch, that kind of shows you some of the artwork animated, of what they're going to do with this story. And it looks awesome. I hate to say this because I was a big fan of Nexus, by Baron and Rude back in the 80s, but this looks better than Steve Rude's work ever did. So, yeah, I like how Nexus looks in this one a lot more. I always thought he looked a little uncomfortable. It was like Steve Rude drew him uncomfortable in the skin-tight costume kind of thing. It was weird. But yeah, I'm this one looks good. So definitely want to pick that one up.
Okay, doing a little investigative journalism for our next story. Mm-hmm. Valiant, what you say? Valiant fucking Comics unveiled a massive checklist of readable titles over the next few months. That Valiant Comics is planning a sizable lead up to its first crossover event in years, starting in September. And in order to get ready for that, they've put out a list. They've made a checklist of things that you have to read. It has 31 fucking titles on it. Valiant has, in the last 5 years, put out, I do believe, 7 books.
I was going to say, 31 titles?
Now, they got purchased by Alien Books. They're the new licensor of Valiant titles. And this is unveiled and called the Resurgence of the Valiant Universe. So, that's pretty cool.
Wow.
No, I support this.
I've liked Valiant. Honestly, when they used to, when they were really making a run for it here about, seven, 8 years ago, the people they had working for them were just top shelf. There was one in particular, this woman named Julia, that used to just come drop in from time to time in fucking Utah to be like, how's it going? How can Valiant better serve you? You know, and we jumped right on that train. We were huge, huge Valiant fans and supporters. But it apparently just wasn't enough to keep them whole. And now that Alien Books owns them, 31 fucking titles to get ready for the resurgence of the Valiant universe.
Okay. They've been cranking out new titles pretty much every month. A new a title has come out, and it's not necessarily like, oh, you got to pick up these six issues. It's they're putting out a book basically every month.
Yeah, it's a $10 perfect bound.
Yeah, featuring one of their main characters. So I know they did one recently for the ninja guy,
Ninjak.
And I'll be one of my picks this week will be another one. So yeah,
some would argue it's Ninja K, but I don't believe that's as much fun to say.
No, it's more fun to say Ninjak.
Yep. So that'll be cool. Looking forward to that.
Yeah, no kidding.
I do. I like most of their characters. I really do. I even like fucking Bloodshot. Mm-hmm. You know, I liked the movie with Vin Diesel. I liked it. It was the last real movie we saw before the pandemic. Like the pandemic started the next morning. You know, when we got home from that one and totally tanked the movie. And I believe ultimately that's what killed Valiant Comics.
Yeah.
That could be.
Because they were banking on creating their own universe. And they were rolling with a major star with one of their most popular characters. Honestly, he's more like a popular character for those who like the Punisher Venom to me. But he's a very popular character. And I knew that would catch the mouth breathers, and they would want to go see it. They'd want to see these Valiant book, these Valiant stories.
I came here to do a comic book podcast, and now you're being a dick.
I was gonna say.
I liked it, mouth breather.
Jesus, I'm not saying I didn't like. I actually liked the movie. I don't like the character, but I like the movie. Yeah.
The man made of nanobots.
Yeah.
I like it.
I liked the movie a lot, and I was like, this is exactly what this movie needed to be. This is fucking great. This is gonna put Valiant on the map. Pandemic. Fuck. What I wanted was them to get to their other star character. Now I've lost her name.
There's Livewire.
Yeah.
There's what's her name? The plus size one.
Yeah, that's the one I'm thinking of.
Yeah, I can't remember her character name. She was great.
She was so popular too, like extremely popular, not just with women, just extremely popular. And I was like, when you get to that character and you put her out there, that's gonna blow everybody away. And my thought was cast Rebel Wilson in that role. And then Rebel Wilson basically was an early experiment for Ozempic during the pandemic. After that, so I'm like, now she can't play the part. Dang it! But there are plenty of other ladies that could play that role, which would be amazing.
I would have liked in Archer and Armstrong.
Yeah,
movie. I think that would have been a lot of fun. Even Shadow Man would have been pretty cool. Mm-hmm. You know, but no, it's you get
Shadow
Vin
Man
Diesel.
Would have been perfect for, you know, it would have been one of those people would have been like, I don't know what this is, and the black audience would have been like, this is fantastic. You know, yeah.
Critical Role's Midst gets a new comic. The epic space western show Midst has its first spinoff on the way with an upcoming comic release. Critical Role and Third Person have partnered with Dark Horse Comics to bring the cosmos of Midst to audiences, expanding the podcast to the world of comics and a spinoff of the space western. Address Unknown. The storyline will be called. First three entries into the comic miniseries. Midst Address Unknown is set for a release later this year and available for pre-order wherever you purchase comics for $7.99. I got to double check that. I don't recall that that is available to order quite yet. I'll find out. Let's see. What time is it? Oh, well, maybe. You know what? Let's see. I'll ask Braxton.
Ooh, Braxton.
If he's in, I'll get back to you if he answers before we finish recording.
Sounds like a plan.
But that is it for the news.
Well, let's talk about what we've been reading this week. Joss, you have a stack.
I do. And I won't go into a ton of detail on most of them just because I do have a stack. The weather, I got to go to Dr. Volt yesterday, pick up my stack. I got home. I still have my giant stack that is the Gang War crossover. Mm-hmm. And I think that this is my turning point that I realized that giant crossover events irritate me to a point that I stop reading comics. And I'm not going to attempt to follow them anymore because I got home, went in the backyard, and I was able to read stuff that I have been current on. And I'm so happy that I did. So running through just really quick, I read Web of Spider-Man, which is just like a preview of the upcoming Spider-Man titles. And there's a lot of them. So they have to do a separate book to tell you all about each of them. And there is one that I will pick up. The new Spider-Gwen title coming out looks amazing. I got to catch up, read your Kill Your Darlings 7. And, oh my gosh, you guys, this one has been so good. So, so good. Crave number 5. I thought this was going to be the last issue of Crave, and it is not. So that was kind of a happy little surprise for me. But, you know, we're still working on stopping that app that's causing chaos and destruction. I'm current on Daredevil, and Daredevil and Wolverine got into it this week. Hopefully, I don't want to spoil who won and what happened, but that's been a great, great storyline. I did start Cabinet, so that's going to be fun to read. I'm going to probably read a little bit more of that series today in my backyard. But oh my gosh, the one I wanted to talk about, you guys, I finished Once Upon a Time at the End of the World, number 13. So a few weeks back, I sat down with my giant stack and I read like the first 10 or something right in a row and then had to wait, right? This series was so, so good. If you didn't read it in singles, watch for it coming out in trades. Mateo and Mazzy, you know, they end up coming back together, meeting in the wild. And you know, it was just so good. I don't want to spoil it if you haven't read it. But, oh, I loved it. Every minute of it. And did it really end? Because I'm pretty convinced that we're going to see more of this, of these two folks. So that'll be awesome. Yeah. Yeah. So what about you, Jeff? What'd you read this week?
That's a really good question. Uncanny Valley. Sue me. I forgot something and couldn't remember if it was in the book or not, so I went through it again. It came out just this week. It's really good. Tony Fleeks is just on his fucking game this year, you know, like every year. Jesus Christ. And for those of you that think Tony's pretty cool, he's coming to town for Free Comic Book Day, May the 4th. Is he coming to Dr. Nice. Volt's? No, he is not. He's coming to the Nerd Store out in West Valley. So we will have an announcement on who will be there at Dr. Volt's for Free Comic Book Day next week.
Nice.
Yes. It will be a big announcement. There will be lots of fanfare, trumpets and shit.
That's right.
But that's really it. It's been a busy fucking week and everything else, and that is all I had time to do was pick up Uncanny Valley and flip through it again to see if something I remembered was true. So what about you?
From the stack this week, we had Ms. Marvel Mutant Menace number 2. Here's the thing about Ms. Marvel Mutant Menace as opposed to the first Ms. Marvel miniseries that Iman Vellani co-wrote. This one is more episodic.
Mm.
So we actually did the first issue. It was some basic stuff with Kamala just trying to do good and yet hide the fact that she's a mutant from Orcus that's flying around these giant Stark Sentinels that are looking for mutants everywhere. And of course, they concentrate around the greater New York City area, Manhattan area, and around, and that gets out to Jersey City because that's just the other side of the bridge.
Right.
And, you know, they're looking for her. And she wound up getting picked up by a character I hadn't heard from in years, Lila Cheney, the mutant rock star, the intergalactic mutant rock star,
who
plays punk music all over the galaxy because she has this weird teleportation ability where she can't really do, like, I can teleport from one side of the room to the other like Nightcrawler. No, her teleportation is in light years. And she has this Dyson sphere that she's kind of set as her home base that nobody lives in except for her and her band. And she can teleport there, and then she can pinpoint planets that she can get to. But, like, if she wanted to go from one end of the Dyson sphere to the other, she's got to walk. Because the teleport doesn't work that way. It's in large spatial moves. That being said, she goes to find some X-Men because she got fucked with by Mojo. She brings in, and the only X-Men she can find is the newest X-Men, Kamala, Ms. Marvel. So they go to Mojo World disguised as two musicians, even though Kamala can't play anything. But she suddenly becomes this superstar for Mojo because in Mojo World, it doesn't take much to make you a superstar. Kind of like in the real world. And she goes through this whole deal being a superstar. And then, you know, they defeat Mojo and the story ends. And then she comes home and we get a new story starting right at the end of the issue. So basically every issue is going to be episodic, which I like. And at the same time, I'm like, shouldn't a miniseries have like an overreaching story? And this one just doesn't have it, which is very unique. And I'm forgiving a lot of it because this is just kind of Ms. Marvel's jam. This happens all the time in the Ms. Marvel comics. Iron Man number, what is this? 17. Number 17. So Tony got right at the end of Iron Man 16. Tony got just nailed through the chest. Well, he was in a giant mecha suit, so nailed through the mecha chest. Went down, and then he starts it out going, I've had enough concussions to know that I have a concussion right now. And he starts having kind of a hallucinations about, you know, everything. But he has kind of a prescient hallucination that comes true at the end of the issue, which was really cool. The fact that these two guys will be working together is going to be pretty fun in issue 18. So the battle against Orcus and the fall of the mutants and all that stuff is continuing. And the irony is that Tony's got to work with Fei Long now because Fei Long thought that he had control, but the artificial intelligences that he was working with, Master Mold and Nimrod, have taken over everything. And they don't want to just wipe out mutants. They want to wipe out all living beings on the planet and just take over. So that, yeah, now it's a bigger, much bigger fight.
Well, yeah, way to go. Jeez.
Yep. Much bigger fight, which means the X-Men in getting involved in this, because they're involved in the fight in their own book. The Avengers are involved in the fight in their book. And then of course, Iron Man in his book, but with the X-Men getting involved and defeating this AI menace that's threatening to wipe out humanity. It's going to be a lot like, wow, you saved us from Ultron. In this case, it's a different kind of Ultron, but there'll be a little more legitimacy for the mutants again, even though they've lost Krakoa and everything else, which I say, thank God. Just, I'd had it with Krakoa and the ever immortal mutants that the writers would just lazily kill off because they're like, I know we can just bring them back.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
It was dumb.
Yeah.
But that's what I've read. So today's Tuesday. That means tomorrow's Wednesday. It's time to give our picks of the week.
You only say hello so you can say goodbye. These two words must make your life complete. You pick out the hearts that break to make your ego high. And I was just your pick of the week.
All right, what are you looking forward to this week, Jess?
Looking forward to picking up Captain Marvel number 7 from Marvel. The undone is done with waiting for the Negabands. You guys, we're going to get Negabands. So I'm going to pick it up and I'm going to enjoy it. And then also just briefly want to mention, if you have not been reading Daredevil, which I don't know why, because I talk about it ad nauseum, it's coming out. Volume 1 of this current run from Salad and Onmid is coming out in a trade paperback, collecting 1 through 5. So there you go. You should pick those up from Marvel Comics. How about you, Jeff?
Great question. Roxxon presents Thor number 1.
Woohoo!
This is the Roxxon somehow acquiring the rights to Thor's person.
Yeah.
I love it.
It's been going on in the pages of Thor so far. I'm definitely picking it up. It's ridiculous. I love it. I really do. And then they're putting out a facsimile of Crisis on Infinite Earths, number 1, that I'd find interesting just because it's the wraparound cover. It looks really cool.
Yeah.
Nice.
So I'm thinking about that. That is my mainstream. What about you?
Mainstreams from me, from Marvel Comics, we're looking at The Spectacular Spider-Man, number 2. Arachnobatics continues. The first issue was so much fun because we got introductions to characters from both the Ultimate Universe and some animated series stuff. They've never been in the comics before, and they were kind of showing up in this coffee shop, which was really cool. So this whole thing is, I'm just very excited about it. I'm really enjoying Spectacular Spider-Man. It's Miles and Peter working together, basically, hanging out. And then from DC Comics, you know I'm going to pick this one. Nightwing 113, which is actually, in legacy numbering, Nightwing number 300.
Ooh.
This is it. This is the 300th issue. We're going to get at least 2 different stories, one from Tom Taylor, which is the continuing main story, and then Mike Conrad is going to be writing another story. It's just going to be great. I just love a good Nightwing story, and it's the 300th issue, so hey, let's enjoy it. Indie picks for me from Image Comics. This was actually a pick of the future for me, and I'm still looking forward to it. 71-74 AD, which is from the fevered brain and drawing desk of T.P. Louise and Ashley Wood, comes an all-new ongoing series collecting bits and bobs from Ash's storied career. And these are going to be little individual stories. They may go over a couple of issues or just maybe one and done's. But this is all kind of stuff from Louise and Wood that are just, you know, crazy stories, crazy sci-fi stories that they're finally throwing together. And from Valiant Comics, one of my favorite characters from the Valiant universe, Punk Mambo, is getting her own comic. 56 pages of story content. Yeah, just kind of a return. But hey, this, what I like about this mostly is it's written by Peter Milligan, one of the great writers from DC from back in the day. So that's what I'm looking forward to, is it's a Peter Milligan story. And I only have to buy one and enjoy it. how about you, Jeff? What are your indie picks?
Indie picks are pretty easy. Going for Biden's Titans versus Trump's Titans from Keen Spot this week. Pretty fucking self-explanatory.
Special. Yeah.
Yeah. And then The Rocketeer is putting its last story into trade. It's In the Den of Thieves, Stephen Mooney's missive. Dave Messina did the different Dave Messina. did the illustration, as far as I know. It could be the same guy. It could be that's what he did after Kenny Loggins broke up with him.
Could be.
Boy, yep. What a 60-year-old joke I just told. See, kids, it's like this. Once upon a time, the guy who wrote the Top Gun theme, Danger Zone, was in a folk rock band with his buddy David Messina. It was called Loggins and Messina. They wrote folk rock songs. And then Kenny Loggins was like, I want to do a little bit of rock and roll. And Dave Messina was apparently like, I want to go write comic books. You know, so
there we go. I'm imagining that's what happened.
Yeah, it's got to be. There's no other explanation. Anyway, I like The Rocketeer. I've liked it from way back. So I'm going to take a peek at this one. This one looks like fun. What about you, Jocelyn?
Coming out from Image Comics, Kill Your Darlings number 8. I just read number 7 yesterday, and this is the series finale. The gruesome saga of Rose and the girl who wouldn't burn comes to its thrilling conclusion in this epic double-length final issue. So I am looking forward to that, other than it's sad that it's ending just because it has been so good. But then also from Boom Studios, this was a pick of the future for me a few weeks ago, Blow Away number 1, about the wildlife photographer who's isolated in the remote cold of Baffin Island, sees something she can't unsee, and she might have witnessed a murder, you guys.
Murder?
Murder, you say?
Murder must spell.
Yeah, looks really good. I'm real excited to pick it up and give it a read.
Awesome. Well, let's jump into the TARDIS, head to June, and give our picks of the future. All right, Joss, give us your future pick.
Future pick this week is coming out from Image Comics, and it is Remote Space. It's a mini-series. The year is 2450. The Earth is dying. The human species has gone down two different evolutionary paths. One used cybernetic augmentation to adapt to space travel. The humans left behind used genetic manipulation to adapt to Earth's worsening climate. For Earth to survive, civilizations need to collide. And that just sounds really intriguing to me, so I'm going to pick it up. How about you, Jeff?
From Dark Horse, The Book of Evil. This is written by Scott Snyder and illustrated by Jacques. So that's all I need to know. But apparently there's more. Blending prose and multiple kinds of illustration. Best-selling comics writer Scott Snyder and renowned comics artist Jacques weave a tale of horror about growing up in a world far more harrowing than our own. That's got to be something.
Yeah.
Imagine that tomorrow morning onward, every baby born into this world is a future psychopath. I don't have to. Have you met these kids? They're nuts.
We know.
Yeah. No, I kid. No, the kids are fine. The kids are doing all right.
The kids are all right?
Yep. All right, what about you, sir?
Well, it was we knew it was coming, and it's available for to pick up. Well, at least order from your local comic book shop, and you should. From our good friend Doug Wagner, Plastic Death and Dolls, number 1 of 5, from Doug Wagner and Daniel Hilliard, will be coming out in June. This is sort of a prequel. You learn how Edwin came to his first kill at 10 years old, and how that set him on a blood-soaked path of decapitation, sporks, and dolls on his way to finding his one true love of his life, a sex doll named Virginia. So this is Edwin at his goriest and Doug at his best. And I want June to be here already because I just love these books. But I think that's it for us. Anything else this week, kids?
Nothing for me.
Jeff?
Not a thing. Other than, we are still... We are still running that fundraiser. We've raised enough that I've managed to take care of the majority of our software solutions. I've bought a little bit of gear, just so you guys know. Taylor over on the left show finally got a microphone so she can compete, and things are moving steadily along. We're just now down to the point where everything else pays for the rent for the new office.
Right.
So, if you've been getting your tax returns back and you're ready to dig a little deep, you want to throw it over there, please do. For those of you that have given, I will be assessing prizes and whatever tomorrow, and starting to set up times for a couple of people to come be on the show.
Hey.
Nice.
Because if you give, there's prizes. So
work on the show.
Yeah. So pop over to thecomicbookpodcast.com, click on the fundraiser there, and take a look at some of the cool shit you can get. It is. It's like PBS with swear words. But really, it does come down to listeners like you. I hope that's not a trademark phrase, because it's true. Thecomicbookpodcast.com.
Jeff, now, we need dope bags.
I'll think about it. I can. The best I can do right now is plastic poly wrappers for shipping.
There you go. That works too.
I got some of those during the pandemic, and I haven't mailed a goddamn thing. So anyway, that's it for me. What do you got, boss?
Well, you know, another great way to help out the show and help out the network is to join our Patreon squad at patreon.com/defendmedia. Every week, fresh content, stuff that we didn't talk about on the show. This week, we got a list, and we're going to go through it. Basically, we're going to review every Marvel movie that came out before the MCU started.
Ooh.
There aren't that many.
All right.
There aren't that many. It's enough that we got a good list. I also have a question for Joss, because she's reading Captain Marvel, and a little bit of a discussion there as well. So if you've got curiosity about Captain Marvel and her new negabands, we're going to have a brief conversation about that. And that is this week on Patreon, patreon.com/defendmedia. Come join us, please. In the meantime, I will say, as I always do, until Tony's got to team up with Fei Long and Magneto, make mine Marvel.
For Hell's Kitchen.
For Stan.
For Asgard.